Coming up on TMS, Mad Mustard Fury Road.
Unintentional toilet cleaning.
Itsy bitsy bite on the ass.
Kuki Suzuki was my kabuki name.
I can't quit you. Love the show, though.
Stay out of my hooter.
The Delton 88 Galaxy.
That movie sucked. I saw it.
Spider butt bites.
It's the spider's toilet now.
Shut up, Richard Dawson. Stop trying to kiss me.
The Tucker Sucker Proxy.
Run DMC Motors.
My car is a seat.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The work's not just gonna go away, Alva. It never just goes away.
I can smell your perfume.
I don't care! This is The Morning Stream.
Welcome back to TMS, everybody. It is Wednesday, September 22nd, 2021, and it's The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson, and there's Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hey, Scott. Happy last few hours of summer.
Yep. We're down the hole of the change of the thing.
That's right.
I do like the weather. I'm a fan. I'm digging it. It's cooler. And,
Yeah, this was ridiculously hot summer, and I'm happy to see it go. I would much rather have like our normal summer, but but you know, I'm ready for fall. Absolutely ready for fall.
Did you notice this? I don't know if you noticed this. Speaking of hours, so iOS 15 launched. Okay, relax, Android people. I just have a quick comment. Okay, we're not going to go on and on about this. Just relax.
Yeah.
They changed a bunch of stuff, and one of the things they changed, which I did not know about, was the location of the sleep button, the snooze button.
Oh, the snooze.
And so when I woke up this morning, it's usually the button to snooze is the big orange one up front.
Right, right.
And you hit that and it snoozes for 10 minutes or whatever and then comes on again. They've replaced or they've swapped it somehow, and I haven't actually gone to look and see since then because I was, you know, blurry-eyed at 6 a.m. But I went and clicked it, and the orange one in the middle now is the end it. There is no
the
snooze
turn off.
There. Yeah. And there's a little snooze one down below. So they changed it.
You're not supposed to use a snooze buttons are bad for you.
I'm sure that's why they changed it. But
I don't know if that's why they changed it.
But, I don't know. They love doing like this new focus thing is all about, you know, like making you less ADD.
Oh, yeah,
and
the focus
stuff,
thing. I'm still trying to wrap my head around all that stuff. But the, when I set, so my alarm, on the page where you set the time and stuff, you've actually got a button that says, let's see, where is it? Snooze, right? Mm-hmm. A little switch, on-off switch.
Yeah.
And if you turn it off, you don't even get a snooze button.
Oh, I should do that. And maybe that's what's going on. Maybe the default is now there's no snooze button. Maybe that's what's happening.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it could certainly be.
It threw me for a loop. And then I heard from a whole bunch of people on Twitter like, oh, yeah, same. I'm used to having like two snoozes and I didn't have any. And
yeah. I do like the fact that it does the... the facial recognition thing. So if your alarm's going off and your phone's on your nightstand and you pick it up to turn it off or your head is over it to turn it off, it senses, oh, there's my owner, and it stops. It like turns down the alarm sound.
Oh, I didn't.
It doesn't turn it off, but it just turns it down.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Always watching, always vigilant. Always looking at your face. That's what it does.
Yep, exactly.
Well, anyway, so there's that. Hey, I got to read my favorite email we've ever gotten.
Okay.
I love this email. I really do. And I actually mean it. I actually really like this email. I'm not being facetious about this.
Okay, all right.
I like the purity of his...
He puts it all out there. Like every emotion laid bare.
Yeah. I can't...
Every exposed nerve.
I can't find much fault in that for some reason. But here's what he says. This is from Colin, and he sent an email to themorningstream@gmail.com, which you're all encouraged to use anytime you feel like saying something, okay? Mm. He said this. Hey, Scott, love the show. Listen for years. Okay, good. That's good so far.
Right? Cool. So far, good start.
Having said that... Oh, you know what I should play for this? Hold on. This is one of those moments.
I know
moments.
Exactly what you're going to do. Yeah,
this needs its own little thing. So.
Oh, right, oh okay. That's not what I expected.
Oh, you thought, what do you think I was going to do? What do you have in mind?
I thought you were going to play some soundtrack music.
Oh, no. All right. So I'll play this. I won't do the Dear Martha voice, but we'll read it as a Dear Martha. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's what he says. I love the show. Listen for years. Having said that, I skipped about 3 years when you wouldn't shut the F up about Fury Road.
Oh, hold all on. Caps.
Hold on, Chad. I gotta put up the little thing. There it is. Podcast is on 0 days without mentioning Mad Max. He says,
you know, it was brought up by this guy.
Yeah, so this guy brought it up. Exactly. Yeah, this is some serious inception here. He says, seriously, this has been in the back of my mind for a long time, and I just wanted you to know that you drove me away because you wouldn't shut up about your effing movie. I expect nothing as a reply to this. It's not your job to satisfy my needs, but I just wanted you to know how you can have an effect on people. I say this because you started threatening to talk about the movie again the other day, and I was about to say, do I have to quit again?
By the way, well done. Well done putting pauses where no pauses and punctuation were provided.
Yeah, I feel like I had to sneak it in there. His final line is, by the way, that movie sucked. I saw it, Colin. That maybe is my favorite thing about the email right there.
Yeah, I love that. The whole, like, by the way.
Yeah. Take that. I don't, whatever. Again, I don't find this offensive. I'm not at all upset back by this. I love this email. And look, I get it. Okay, yeah. There, especially back when it happened, the movie happened, I wouldn't shut up about it in 2015, 2016. Like, I was a nonstop blabbermouth about it. But also, let's be realistic. It represented what? One mention per hour and a half show? Like, is it really that much? It's not that much.
Right.
So
right.
I wanted to use this as a lesson. If somebody thinks that I talk too much about mustard, as an example, just an example, it's not actually happening. Chances are what you mean is, you didn't like a thing, and then I brought up a thing, and I said it once, maybe twice, and to you, that's talking about it nonstop and not shutting up about it, when really, it represents one or two words in an hour and a half show. So I just, you know, perspective matters here. It counts. Even with my most fervent Fury Road talk back in the day, when it was a lot more than I do now, it still represented a tiny, tiny, minuscule percentage of actual show content. It just feels that way to you. And I understand it. I get it. I don't, you know, I don't want
totally
you to
get it, especially if you don't like a thing and somebody talks about it. You know, it frustrates you to think, God, what did he see in it that I didn't see in it?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I get it. And I also know it's not for everyone. 100% get that. Like, I'm related to people who do
God,
not
I love
understand.
Mustard, though.
No, the mustard thing. I mean,
yeah,
F off.
Love mustard.
Yeah. F off. All right, so that was a fun email. I really enjoyed. Hey, Brian, how's the spider situation? What's going on?
Yeah, so yesterday after the show, went upstairs to use the facilities, closing went into the bathroom. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but you know, I closed the door, turned on the light, opened the lifted up the lid in the seat, unzip my pants. I guess I'm going into a lot of detail. Let's just say that. Did a little number one action in the toilet.
Yeah.
And finished up, hit the flush lever.
Yeah.
And as I do that and the water comes down from the rim, a black spider comes out from under the rim, getting washed down by the water, regains his footing, and runs back under the rim.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I hate this story. What did you do?
So I'm looking at this and like, oh crap. Okay, so I wait for the tank to fill up again. And then I hit the flush button again. Water comes down. No spider.
Oh my!
I wait
gosh.
For the water to fill up again in the tank. I wash my hands, and then I hit the lever again. Flush. Spider doesn't come out. I'm like, well, I guess I'm never using this toilet again.
Yeah. Time to, you know, it's a seller's market, Brian. Time to put the house up and get the hell
That's
out
right.
of there. Yeah.
Yep. But just to be safe, to be sure. So then I figure, all right. Well, I know that. I didn't know where a little hand mirror was, so I could kind of see where under the rim it was, so I could kind of focus some attention on that. I don't know what I was going to do, but yeah. So then I got out the Lysol toilet cleaner. Now this is the plastic bottle that has a little hook, like a little elephant's trunk that goes up, so that as you squeeze the bottle, it kind of shoots up. So you can get it under the rim. I right. thought, well, I don't know exactly where he is, but if I like just squeeze the damn thing and go around the inside of the rim, I'm sure I'll get him.
Yeah.
So do that.
Yeah.
The blue liquid comes out, rushes down the sides of the toilet. No spider intact. I'm like, all right, great.
Dude.
So then I grab the brush, the toilet brush, and the spider, it just dawned on me, the spider got me to clean the toilet, unintentionally got me. So I took the brush and I went around, and something, you know, like a chunk of stuff that was on the brush or whatever came out and washed down the water. I thought, all right, well, that's probably it. That's probably the spider. Probably got him.
Yeah.
Flushed again. No sign of the spider. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to say to myself that I think I got him. I'm probably okay. So went back downstairs, worked for a few more hours, about, 4 o'clock, came back up, went to the bathroom again, flushed the toilet, and I watched the spider slide down the water again, try to regain his footing, and go, no!
No. So that was it. He's out. He's dead.
Possibly because my brushing made such a slick surface on the inside of the toilet that he had no way to regain his footing.
Oh, Carter's hearing that. Carter, are you okay upstairs? Are you all right hearing about the death of one of your creatures that you want to save? Are you okay with that?
Sorry. Here's my opinion. If they get into the house, it's fair game. They've got an entire open world MMORPG that they can go play around in. Yeah. And if they get into the house.
Yeah, they're out leveled. They came into the wrong dungeon. They're out leveled in there.
Exactly.
Brian's the boss. He'll take you down.
Right. Rainbow Bright, it probably, with its legs out, was about the size of a silver dollar or a silver half. Which is bigger, silver half dollar? Like, or not silver half, just like a half dollar. A half dollar is bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little larger. Yeah, that's a big spider.
Yeah, so about the size
spider.
Of a half dollar.
Ew, that's way too big. That's big, big. Yeah,
But it didn't have like a big abdomen and little spindly legs like a Black Widow. I don't think it was a Black Widow. But guess what?
Yeah.
When you're in that vulnerable position, thank God I wasn't doing some. Thank God I didn't have too much coffee yesterday morning.
Yeah,
and was sitting on the thing. I mean, who knows if he would? He probably just would have left me alone. But still,
the idea that he was there even at all during any of that, or that he's been there for days. You don't even know how long
he's been
there.
That's a vulnerable zone.
Oh, I don't want
a spider going on there.
I don't like thinking about that at all. And what now? What if he's down in the pipes mutating into something horrible and then he'll pop up in somebody else's toilet? It's their problem now.
Good. As long as somebody else's, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's somebody else's problem. Apparently, Claire's got a real spider thing going.
She really does. Yeah. Like, all caps.
Well, not that.
Like your last one. Bye.
Yeah, bye. I'm out.
Dave's problem now.
This is too funny.
They're on their way to the airport, those two.
We handle things so differently because, like, Carter the other day, just what, 2 days ago, I see her sneaking through the house with her very slowly with a cup and her hand underneath it. Like, what are you doing? I'm letting a spider out. I'm like, all right. If at your house, she'd have been mad at you. That's what would have happened.
Yeah, good for her. And you know what? She's right about certain spiders are great to have in the house. I'm okay with them being in the house, doing the things that they need to do, getting rid of smaller bugs and stuff, as long as they just keep out of my sight.
Yeah, don't be crawling up my hooter, you know? Stay out of my hooter.
I'm not going to fumigate the place. I'm not going to, spray stuff in the corners to kill them. But so as long as we can live peacefully, as long as you don't show yourself.
That's right. My hooter is exit only, you old rat.
That's right.
You little bastard. You know, don't go in there. Stay out of there.
It's funny. I wasn't thinking about him crawling up my chute, but I just don't want him biting that area.
I don't want anyone. I don't want them anywhere near me. And if I ever had one in the toilet, I don't want to know I did. I don't want to know what happened. I don't want to know a thing about it. So there you go. Oh, Claire Gack, I have so many spider videos on my phone right now because they're beautiful and I'm out in a number. Oh, but they're outside. I see.
Outnumbers in my area, but outside,
The people that walk
Belfast
up,
spiders.
You know those big, gnarly nests of like the daddy long legs or dandy.
We talked about this. It's daddy long legs.
That's right. And they're all in a big hairy
and then you Google to see if I was wrong about it being daddy long legs.
I have heard it so wrong my whole life that I was sure. you had challenged my very reality that day.
I know.
But when
sometimes those Googles pay off because then it's like, no, Brian, there is a camel without a hump. I'm like, well, who knew?
Who knew? But these things, they gather up like hairy nests.
Yes. Oh, those freak me out.
And these videos on TikTok and stuff where people go up and like put their hand in it. What are you, what planet are you from?
Yeah, crazy. Well, you know, daddy long legs are very, they can't hurt you. They're, even though they're poisonous, their fangs aren't big enough to pierce your skin or cause any problems.
Yeah. They just scare me, man.
I love, we usually get orb weavers, and it's weird because they seem seasonal. Like, we get them in the fall, and I love when we get orb weavers that put these really cool, they're like the spider web, the model of spider webs, right? It's that whole Charlotte's web triangle within a circle in the middle of it that's a spiral, and he sits in the middle of it. I like orb weavers.
Yeah, orb weavers are kind of cool.
Yeah.
They
catch things that you don't want in your neighborhood too, so they're good.
Yeah, I drew a picture of an orb weaver once. It wasn't a spider, though. I made it up. It was this guy right here, chat. This guy named him Orb Weaver. He's like a
supervillain named Orb Weaver.
Yeah, you can't hear. I'll send you an image of it. But he's weaving orbs.
Oh, look at him weaving orbs. Yeah, okay.
He's doing a little orb weaving there on his own there.
It's cool. Good lighting on that.
That was pretty fun to do. All right. We are going to go from spiders to Dunaways. It's not a big leap.
Nope.
I'm honest. Let's see how he's doing, if he's had any furniture problems and or wants to play a little Battle Royale with you guys. It's feud day, which means you got to call in, so you can start calling now, but I'm not taking your call for a minute here. Anyway, here's this music. Where the hell am I? Gosh dang it. Here it is. Joining us is Brian Dunaway from South Carolina. Our old pal comes on Mondays and Wednesdays and plays a little contest with us. And it's always fun. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, pal.
Hello, pal.
Hi, Brian.
How you doing? Are you feeling better? Yesterday, you stayed home from work. You weren't feeling great. You feeling better?
Yeah. No, we were out, talked about it, had that afternoon rally. It's like, yeah, feeling pretty good now. And then early, you know, later that night, it was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Why did I get up?
Yeah.
I should have stood in bed.
Yeah.
And it's... I got about an hour ago or so, maybe, and here I am. Here I am. What do you want from
me? Right. We want competitive Family Feud style fun times out of you. That's what we want. Are you ready for that?
Yes, we could do that.
Excellent. I'm going to take a caller, and we're going to see who's going to be playing with us today. Hi, thanks for calling in. Who's this?
Yes, my name is Delton.
Well, hello, Delton. Where are you from?
Delton.
From Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, no. Where the wind rolls. Ba-da-ba-doo. I don't know how that goes, that song.
I'm sweeping down the plains.
Sweeping down the plains. That's it.
Yes.
It's good to have you here. Thank you for joining us, and we're excited to have you. Brian, will you explain to Delton and us how this is going to work?
I totally will do that thing. It's time to play the Tadpooly Feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian will have to predict the answers that they gave us. It's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Delton, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. And if your team wins, you get a great prize package that includes, courtesy of Lois Haley, Small World, the game on Steam, and the following DLC for it: Be Not Afraid, Cursed, and Grand Dames or Grand Doms. So the Small World base game, and then the three games, the three DLCs that were released for it. Nice. Pretty cool.
Nice. I agree.
I like Grand Dames.
Grand Dames, yeah.
Grand Dames. Doms? Grand Doms?
I have no idea, actually, in that one. But Small World's a very cool game, and all the DLC makes it even better. This is a fine package.
So cool. So cool. All right. Well, let's get you guys into the game here. This one. So again, this one's pulled from the brand new survey. If you have not had a chance to join the survey, the link to it is tiny.cc/tadpoolfeud, all lowercase, tiny.cc/tadpoolfeud. If you want to give your answers, I'll take answers all the way up until I put up a new survey. So
nice.
There you go.
Yep.
Yes. All right. Put your hands on your buzzards. All right. Including going out of business, a name change, or an acquisition, name an automobile manufacturer that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, shit.
Brian Dunaway.
Pontiac.
Show me Pontiac. It is our number one answer.
Man. All right.
right. Since there's no answers that can beat it, Brian, you've got control of the board, and Delton, you're going to be helping Brian out. You guys are a team.
Right. Yeah, you're a team.
All right. Yeah. Oh, hi.
All right, you two. Don't let us down with your prowess and knowledge.
That's right. Name an automobile manufacturer that doesn't exist anymore.
Motherfucker. All right, so I got a couple in my head, but I always like, you know, I want to give the listener chance. If you have a chance, the player, if you have a chance, or you have something you got in mind.
Yeah, you got something good there, Delton.
I was thinking Datsun.
Datsun. Yeah, let's do the Datsun. I'm agreeing the Datsun.
All right. Show me Datsun.
We got Datsun here.
We got Datsun here. Nobody cares.
Yeah. My dad had
nobody
a
cares. Nobody cares.
He was doing it for the record. He's not telling Brian he doesn't care. He's saying he's doing the Jurassic Park thing.
It was good. Doing the Jurassic Park thing. Newman.
Yeah, it was very good.
Newman's own recipe. All right.
Sorry.
Hey, you got another one?
I guess DeLorean, but aside from that, I might be stumped.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's where I was at too. That was the exact same one I had in mind too. So those stainless steel DeLoreans, he couldn't quite make it.
Good place to hide your cocaine. Yeah. All right, show me DeLorean. Show me some serious shit.
Whoa.
Number two answer. Not a Back to the Future.
Dang, we're getting all
there.
The good stuff. That sucks. That means we're not getting many points.
You're getting low point numbers because they're easy, top, low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But that's all right. It's all right.
High positioned, low hanging fruit is what that is.
Right.
Seven answers on the board remaining.
Right. Oh my God. Why am I?
Yeah.
I can't think of it. Wait a second. Give me 2 seconds. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I know. You're thinking.
I remember when contestants would do this to Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
Right. All the time. Shut up, Richard Dawson. Stop trying to kiss me.
Yeah. He wants his lips on you.
You freak.
It's all about the lips. Give me the lips.
What was that car my dad had that they don't make anymore? And I made fun of him all the time. Oh, what the crap was that car?
Mm. Really? Okay. Mm. Oh, I can't wait to find out.
Yeah.
I can't remember. So let's just they get rid of the Plymouth? Isn't that no longer a thing? No. I have not seen a Plymouth in decades.
Sounds
so I'm
like
going to say a Plymouth.
Yeah.
Plymouth. All right. Show me Plymouth.
Oh,
number seven answer on the board. Oh, now you're getting some points.
Now you're getting some dirty stuff.
Mm.
That's right. Plymouth.
Plymouth. I was like
Plymouth.
What are you talking about? All right. So, what was the movie with the guy?
Oh,
I know it's not called.
You're thinking of the dude.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about the dude, and it was a movie, and it was. It's not the Hudsucker Proxy, but it's the what the.
I know exactly what you're thinking about.
I know what it is too. I like that movie. It's got Jeff Bridges. His dad's in it too. Lloyd.
But the name of the movie it was the Hudson, right? That was the name of the car.
I don't know. Is it
not the movie? Is that right? Okay, yeah.
Is it?
I'm thinking maybe that's right.
All right.
Am I thinking that right? I think that's right.
Okay. All right. Show me Hudson.
Oh, I was hoping to be low numbers.
Number 20 on the list, by the way, is Hudson.
Too low.
Was that the movie? Was it called the Hudson?
Hudson Hawk? No, it was the Hudsucker Proxy. Wasn't the same, was it?
No, it's completely different.
No, totally different.
Okay.
Yeah,
Hudson.
There's a Coen Brothers.
And I'm not saying anything about. I know the name of it now.
I know the name of it now. I got it. I got it now. Once the pressure goes off,
that's exactly what it is.
Flow.
Yes.
Dude,
when you're trying, when you're struggling to remember something, the best thing to do is just try and think of something else, and the first thing will come to you.
All right, let's go domestic. They seem successful at the time, but not so much. I mean, they're gone now, so they must not have been doing very well. I'd say the Saturn is on there.
Mm. All right. Show me. Tristan had one of those. Show me Saturn.
Oh,
number three answer on the board.
Okay.
Well done.
All right. That feels like too high up the list, though. I want something lower. Oh, geez. Just hit me the name of the movie. It's not Hudson. It's,
I figured that out afterwards.
It's,
all that stuff just floats around your head.
Oh, come on.
I had it lost it.
So I'll go back to my fallback. Let's do the Yugo. Is the Yugo on there?
The Yugo. All right. Show me that Yugoslavian beast, the Yugo.
Oh my gosh, it's on there.
Number 8.
I have that great story about taking that girl out and one of the wheel falling off. It was great.
Right.
It was a hell of a date. She was 2 inches taller than me. I was already intimidated. She was like a supermodel, tan, beautiful girl. And the wheel came off the car.
You told us this story like 100 times.
I know. It's the worst. One of the worst stories of my teenage life. It was an awful time for me. All right. Edsel.
All right. Show me the Edsel one headlight right there in the front.
Damn it.
Oh, oddly, that's what I couldn't remember. I kept thinking Hudson, Edsel, and then I couldn't get the movie.
Right.
Which was
Edsel, by the way, number 12 on the list.
Nice.
Okay.
That's right.
Wait, did you say Tucker? Oh, Tucker's the movie.
Tucker is the name of the movie.
Tucker, the man and his...
5 seconds after you, after we talked about it.
It's called A Man and His Dream.
A Man and His Dream, that's it!
That's right.
Soundtrack. With Francis Ford Coppola. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, yeah. A soundtrack by Joe Jackson. That's how I know
it. It's a great movie. It's a good movie. No one thinks about that movie, but it's good.
Or is it a good movie?
I think it's a good movie. I do.
All right. Is that your answer there, Brian? You saying Tucker?
That should be. What do you think? I'll give my co-player the opportunity.
Yeah, that sounds great.
What do you think?
Yeah, he thinks it sounds good.
All right,
good. Okay. Let's go with the Tucker.
All right,
I'm all tuckered out with the Tuckers.
Show me the Tucker. Number 11, so just outside of the top 10. Surprise.
You say you're a trucker. No, I own a Tucker.
I'm a trucker.
Mother Tucker.
All right.
So back over to Scott.
Let's think here. So this can, okay, can I clarify some of the early top rules? You said it could be a brand, like an overall brand, as well as an individual.
It's an automobile manufacturer. Okay. So not a model, but a manufacturer that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. Because technically
People were arguing that Edsel actually is a model, not a make.
The Saturn,
that's true.
Saturn's also a Chevy product.
Dang it.
So... Saturn was a subsidiary of Chevy,
but they're still a manufacturer. So it's like it was a Saturn. What was the model number?
Is
like
it though? Because Nintendo.
Oh yeah, those Saturn. My kids own one of those. They own the Saturn. Saturn.
You're right in name, but that's all that matters is name. Is what you're saying? Yeah. Okay.
All that matters is what the tadpole thinks is like
Saturn SL1. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All
right.
Because they're not out of. They're still making them, but the Toyota. Toyota makes those weird. What's that offshoot Toyota makes? Shit, they're all weird looking, kind of cubey.
I know one.
Scion,
yeah, that's a. It's still an active Toyota subsidiary, but I guess it's still a name.
Once again, I think you're thinking way too hard. You just got to answer what the tadpole said, not what actual reality is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right, well, let's go with AMC.
AMC, sure.
American Motor Company.
Yeah. The old AMC. All right, show me AMC. Yeah, both a movie theater company and a cable channel and a car company, none of which are related to each other as far as I know. That was what? Acme Motor Cars was what AMC or American Motor Cars?
American Motor Company.
But they also made the DeLorean, though, right?
No, that was the DMC. He had his own, right?
Oh, yeah. He was the half of the rap team. He was the run DMC.
Run.
My Adidas. All right. Let's get into the final chance for Scott to not be stupid. My dad used to really be into cars. I really should know this better. Let's go with there's three more on the board.
Yeah, three answers left. 5, 9, and 10. So points, plenty of points to be had. Anybody's game.
Okay. Who made the American Eagle? Who was that?
My clothing, you mean?
No, there was a car.
The Outfitters?
There was a car called, there was a car called the Eagle. Oh, I know what. Yeah, we're no, no, old. No. This is good. Ford used to make... Oh, shit! It's a planet.
It's a planet.
Not Saturn.
You've already
said
Saturn.
Not Saturn.
That's no moon.
It's another planet. Shit.
Well, there's only so many. I mean,
we're on one of them. You probably rule that one out.
I was going to say there's already one up there. So, I mean.
Oh. I had one. Mercury Maverick. Mercury.
Mercury. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I think that's a thing.
Sure. Yeah. Show me Mercury.
Oh, please. Damn it.
It is definitely a thing, but not on the list, Bradley. What do we get
here? Yeah. Aren't Mercury's still... Oh, no. Mercury number 13 on the list. Yep. Mercury's no longer around.
Damn it. All right. I did have
Mercury. This would have been like, Brian, 15 years ago, we could have said the Volkswagen Beetle, but I think they're still cranking those things out since they rebooted.
Yeah, and Volkswagen is the manufacturer.
Once again,
so. Hmm. Oh, this right. That's tadpole. Right. Exactly. Big tadpole. What am I doing? Yeah. Good point.
All right. What do you got?
How about you got it? You got anything over there on your end?
This should not be so difficult.
No,
I'm floundering.
It really
now.
Shouldn't be. I feel like I'm dumb.
You're not dumb. I'm trying to think of foreign cars because we've done a lot of
domestic.
Well, so we've done a little mix, haven't we? We've done a little bit of both.
It's been a mix. Yeah.
See, I want to say something like the Pinto but I know it's Ford. Shut up. I know.
I know that there's probably dozens of these. They're just names I've never heard, you know, like old time, like trying to compete with Henry Ford era stuff. Probably. I just don't know them.
Yeah. That's why I was starting to think of the movies like that, because I know there's been stuff about Edsel and Tucker's stupid car and all those things. So,
I just thought of one.
Wait. Did we mention Oldsmobile?
No.
Nope.
Is that something we can say?
Way to help him, Scott.
Oh, yeah, shoot. What am I saying? I gotta stop helping Brian.
How about Oldsmobiles? I haven't seen those. Yeah, because they shut down our Oldsmobile dealer. So, and we used to have one. So, do they still make those? They just shut them down here.
I was waiting for you to get to this with Scott saying the word old like 18 times in
lessons. Yeah, when he said it, I was like,
show me Oldsmobile. Yeah, number 5 on the list.
I thought they were still
old
around.
Old man Bill.
I really thought they were around still. I didn't know
this
that.
This is not your father's car.
That's another subdivision of GM.
Yeah, it was a GM deal, right? Pontiac and Oldsmobile were both GM deals.
Yep.
And Saturn, for that matter.
And Saturn.
I think.
Now, was that the commercial that used to be, this is not your father's Oldsmobile? Was that the thing?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That was the thing. My dad had a number of these when he was doing auctions. He would always buy them and sell them to old people. So they kind of were. They kind of were your father's
beasts.
Oldsmobile.
You know, they're like, it's like driving a Sherman tank.
Yeah. They were big floaty monsters, these things.
That's right.
Big floaty monsters.
All right.
Two answers left, 9 and 10.
I keep wanting to say Hugo, but I see it on the board. It's right there. I'm looking right at it. I just keep wanting to.
You just really, really want to say Hugo again.
I really want to say Hugo. Yeah. Can I like get half the points if I say it again? Right.
No, you can't have any more points if you say it again. No. By the way, you guys are both on your third strike, so
one
more wrong answer each.
Yeah. One more wrong answer each.
And can I, by the numbers, win if he gets it wrong and I get one right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You guys, they've got 19. So currently, Brian and Delton are in the lead, but only 2 points separate you. So if
You just got to guess one.
Either
you just
of those
guess
last
one.
Two. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. But if Brian gets the number 10 answer, you are mathematically eliminated. Actually, I think either one of them. Yeah, either one of them, you're mathematically eliminated.
All right.
Well, I'm about to whiff unless my My co-player.
Delton,
here,
you got anything? Got anything else? You've been great. You've been very helpful.
Yeah,
so.
You know what's funny, Delton? Your name sounds like a defunct car company.
It does, right?
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, the old Delton 88. Those are great. Right.
The Delton Galaxy, yeah. Available now in 5 colors.
This might be strange. Does Suzuki still produce vehicles?
Oh, I had a Sidekick. I wonder if they do. Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. Like, up until about 5 or 6 years ago, I used to see them all the time, but I haven't seen a Suzuki in forever. I don't know if that just means it's fallen out of favor here, or maybe it's, let's do it. Let's do the Suzuki, which is probably probably still somewhere. And I just don't know, but yeah.
Sure. Right, Suzuki, sure. Kooky. Suzuki.
All right. Show me Suzuki. I saw a bunch of Suzukis in Ireland. We were like, look at that. That's the old Suzuki logo. So they're still in other parts of the world, but not as much in the US.
They had that little, I had a Sidekick in it, and it was famous for rolling and killing people. I thought about that every time I drove it.
Oh, God.
I never rolled,
everybody had a Sidekick at one point in time.
I had something similar but different, but I'm not going to say it because it might. I don't want to.
Oh.
Oh, I think you may have just given me one.
No,
because they brought that car over here and then they dual purposed it. They used it for one name. Now I have to remember the other name.
Was it Carl's Jr.?
Shit.
It was Hardee's.
No, Geo.
Oh, dadgummit. We even had a Geo.
It was called a Geo something else.
That's
probably number 10. It was basically the Sidekick, but it with Geo branding on it.
All right,
show fell apart like nobody's business.
Go ahead. Show me Geo.
Damn it!
I didn't want to help you or hurt you. It is Geo is number 22 on the list. I had a Geo Tracker.
Tracker.
Yeah, we had a Metro. Convertible.
Yeah, Metros and Trackers.
Just asking
right.
to die.
Yeah.
All right. So first off, congratulations to Delton. You're getting these prizes. Super cool. Let's see what these last two answers were. Show me number 9.
Studebaker.
Studebaker, that was the other one I couldn't think of. There's
really
like,
going old school with the Studebaker.
That was the other one I couldn't think of. Dang it.
Is the next one a Packard?
Oh, that's a good
one. Damn it.
Indeed it is.
You know what? I was going to say Packard until the Geo thing came up, and then I turned a tight corner. Damn it.
Rolled that Geo right over, didn't you?
Yeah. Delton, you're welcome for me bringing up my car that was similar to Scott's Suzuki Sidekick. The Samurais, I thought, were the ones that would fall over would roll. Samurais had a narrower wheelbase. The Sidekicks were their attempt to fix it by making a wider wheelbase.
You're right, and it was the Samurai that I had. And that's
The Samurai.
Yeah. I got it mixed up. You're right. The Sidekick was supposed to be the fix.
Their fix. Yeah.
I know nothing about a Packard, by the way. I don't even know what the crap that
old,
is. I didn't have a chance with
that old.
One.
Very old. All right. So some of the other ones, Tucker Edsel, Mercury, number 13 on the list. Saab, number 14. Isuzu, Holden, the Scion, Austin Healey, which I am not familiar with at all.
Oh.
Daewoo, a more recent.
Oh, yeah, we had that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, arrival and disappearance. Eagle Geo, number 22, as I said. Nash.
Oh, Eagle. Avanti. That was the one I was thinking of with American Eagle. Just Eagle.
That's Eagle. Yeah. Borgward, old German brand.
Yeah.
A Borg what?
Isabella, the Borgward.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Bricklin, somebody said Chrysler. I think Chrysler.
Do we
still make stuff? Maybe not. The Genesis, the Hummer, definitely still around the Hummer. Yeah, Car, I think was a brand, not a, or it was a model, not a make. I can't remember who made the Le Car, but we always called it the Le Turd. Lotus.
Yeah.
Lotus.
Rambler Nash made the Rambler. The Reliant. The Renault. Yeah. Another one.
Yeah. I can't believe Scion is dead. I thought they were still
Vauxhall,
around.
And Claire, you can help me out. So we saw a different S logo than the Suzuki out there, and we saw a manufacturer, like a dealership on the side that said Seat, S-E-A-T. Is Seat a manufacturer out there in Ireland? Are they pronounced Seat or Seat?
Seat.
S-E-A-T?
Seat.
Seat?
I don't know.
I know.
Seat, she says.
Yeah,
okay.
Seat. Okay. All right. It's a funny, like, it's What kind of car you have? Oh, it's a seat.
It's a seat. Just have a seat. It's got four wheels on it. It's basically a seat with wheels. Yeah.
Seat.
That's great. Seat International. Very nice. Yeah. Well done.
I think we felt like I probably did pretty good. We did pretty good, I think. We did
very well. Yeah. Only had two answers left on the board, and Scott even thought of one just before I said it. So I won the last two. So well done.
Well, that means that he wins the games, which is the most important thing here, in my opinion. Wait, he did win, right? Did he win?
Yeah. He did win. Yeah.
Of course he did.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. Well done.
You are You've gotten the whole small world of family.
Swole.
Yeah,
swole world.
You're going to get nice and swole. That stuff's easy
Welcome
to get to
swole
you, too.
World.
All you got to do is send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com. He'll send you your codes, and you'll install those on Steam, and you'll be a happy camper. How do you feel about your win today?
It's awesome. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, man. And you were way fun to have on, and also very patient because that was a very long game. Well done. All right.
It was.
That's the end of that. Well done, Brian Dunaway. You did it again. Once again helped somebody win a thing, and I think you should be proud of yourself.
Helping our listeners one at a time, one winner at a
That's
time.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm super proud of being old and can remember most of these cars that you mentioned.
Good job. Look, seasoned, not old, seasoned. Okay.
Right. I mean, I'm in a nice place right now because I'm old enough to remember it, but not so old that I've forgotten it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also, why don't you tell folks about anything you got going on? Do you have anything cool going on you want people to know about before you go?
Yes. Tomorrow night I'll be at 6 Eastern time. I'll be doing a little graveyard keeping with Kit London.
Yeah.
And we like to do that as a Stardew Valley kind of a game, but with graveyards and things and zombies and that manufacture things for me.
Nice.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Put them Stardew Cemetery is what that game is.
There you go.
Yeah. It kind of is, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It very much is. Well, you should go do that. That'll be fun. People should check that out. And, of course, check out yesterday's Boop Show as well as this weekend's Film Sack. We got lots of stuff coming up.
So much fun.
The first of the Matrix sequels is this weekend for that dumb thing. So the second Matrix. And then at some point we'll do the third before this fourth one comes out. And because it's on HBO on day and date, we'll probably sack that when it comes out.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, so watch for that.
People, by the way, have been asking if we've given up on the Final Destination movies, because at one point we said we were going to try and do all of them on FilmSec.
Oh, there's time. We'll get them.
I saw that on the Discord server. Yeah.
We'll get to them. I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't get to them.
Yeah, there's no hurry on those.
Well, don't worry, everybody. We'll get there. All right, Brian Dunaway, have a fantastic day, and may all your deliveries come through.
Thanks, pal.
All right.
Pal. This is like a Bruce Willis.
Someone in the chat says Lotus still makes cars. Is that true?
I imagine there were a few on here that that people submitted that still are around in some form or another. So
I'm surprised by a couple that aren't around. I was sure they still made cars. I didn't know Oldsmobile or Scion were gone. I thought they were both still making cars. But what do I know? I don't know anything.
Yeah. What do I know? What do I know?
I know this. I know we got to take a break. And when we come back, Tom Merritt will be here. A little Tom's Tech Time at the top of the hour. Right after that, we'll have Nicole with some recommendals. Got a big recommendals today, so stick around for that. Hey, Brian, play a song before we do all that, please.
Well, okay. Let's go to, where are these guys from? I don't know. Oh, San Francisco. Oh, look at that. They're from a place I'm going to be going tomorrow. San Francisco-based band called Drowning Effect. Boy, if you guys are ready for some just straight-up rock and roll, think The Stooges and Jane's Addiction, Filter, plus some 70s influences like Blue Cheer. These guys are great. They actually formed this year, but they've released two albums. Their self-titled debut album, and then this brand new album called Techniculture, both of them mixed by Gabriel Shepard, who worked with Cake and The Residents. And they were mixed in Oakland's 25th Street Recording and mastered by Mike Wells, who did Green Day's albums and worked also with Jello Biafra. Here is, from their brand new album, Techniculture, here's Drowning Effect and Handover.
Already there. You hand over, hand over.
tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
Oh, for f***ing sakes, who is eating bologna?
The Morning Stream. How about a booby?
And we're back, everybody. What song once again?
That song once again is Hand Over by the band Drowning Effect from their brand new release, Technicolor.
Hand over, man.
Hand over.
Hand over. All right. Well, now we are truly going to hand over to this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man, also known as Tom Merritt, is joining us now to talk about the daily tech news headlines. Tom Merritt, welcome back. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me back. Mm. I was just clarifying that Microsoft did not announce a mouse made of 20% recycled mouse, but 20% recycled ocean plastic.
Oh, okay.
Made an unfortunate typo in my own notes.
Oh, so. That's a great typo,
and
though.
Mice around the world breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
It is a mouse with 20% recycled material in it, but not a 20% recycled mouse.
Gotcha.
Mouse.
I don't think I've owned a Microsoft-branded mouse in about, oh gosh, like 15 plus more years. And back in the day, like the early days, they were the bomb. That was the mouse to own. When I had the ball, and then later they got the optical, and it was like, oh man, these Microsoft mice are amazing. But I don't know what happened since. Like, everything's been nothing but wall-to-wall Logitech for me. So.
Yeah, I had a Microsoft mouse. I can see it sitting over there dead on a shelf
right
now.
Of course you can.
Served me for 10 plus years, and I have a Logitech one now.
How that's not just in within your reach is the crazy part. Like, how
it's
you can't just grab
right
it.
Here. I'll show you.
Well, we got him up. He's out. He's out of the chair.
There you go.
There you go. Geez,
that's a Microsoft mouse.
Look
at
that's
that.
That's a Microsoft mouse. All right.
Of course he's got one nearby.
Yeah, I've gone full Logitech for some reason on everything. I just like
I'm Logitech.
I don't know.
And,
I'm using this mouse.
Oh, yeah, Logitech.
It's harder. There
you go. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah. You're a little tiny guy. Cool. I like that. Well, Tom, it's good to have you here. We like to have Tom on Wednesdays because we get all sorts of tech news in the middle of the week. And it also helps me because then I have a better idea of what I'll be a part of on the Daily Tech News Show later today.
Yeah, it's really just cheating. It's Scott and I having our prep meeting.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Because by the time we get there, we often have this comment. Someone will say, well, when Scott and I talked on TMS this morning, and it's like, yeah, that's right. I've had a preview of this content.
Yeah. Well, and you can't avoid it today. Microsoft just finished, like literally minutes ago, finished their big Surface hardware announcement. Mm. And I think the one that'll get you the most excited, Scott, is the Surface Laptop Studio.
Mm.
So
oh.
They're taking that idea of the big Surface Studio desktop,
which is so cool,
and putting it in a laptop form. Really, it's a fancy name for a very nice hybrid laptop. So the laptop,
it's just a laptop with a touchscreen, right?
It's a laptop with a touchscreen, which all the Surfaces are. But in particular, you can fold it into a tablet form and use it as a tablet. It's a nice big 14.4-inch 120Hz display. They also have a mode called Stage Mode, where you can kind of pull it into a not full tent format. It just pulls over the keyboard but leaves the trackpad available so that you could do presentation or gaming if you've got a controller. They even showed some people doing some drawing on it, like as if on an easel. And it works with the new Surface Slim Pen 2 that allows for some haptics that are supposed to be able to simulate paper drawing. But they're definitely positioning this towards creative uses, including art. And in fact, it has Thunderbolt 4 ports, so you can add it to a big old 4K display if you want.
I'm really curious about this one. I hadn't heard about this yet because I've been busy with TMS stuff.
It's like literally just got announced.
Yeah.
Does this work with that cool puck that they had that worked with
the Surface? No mention of the puck.
No puck mention.
I did not see any mention of the puck on this. And at 14.4 inches, that might be a little overkill. The puck might be a little big for it. The idea is that you've got a really strong computer here that for the kinds of uses that I know Scott likes that Surface Studio for, but in a laptop format, which is pretty compelling. Thing is, they didn't announce any shipping dates or prices that I can see yet. I'm still looking for that.
Yeah. Also, the second or this new generation of pen is maybe the main the main holdback on some of the previous Surface products has been that for me, because their lag and their latency has not been good.
Yeah, they say they improved that quite a bit.
Yeah, so if that's a lot better, that's really good news. Yeah, I'm actually genuinely interested, and that's a bigger display than the current leading sort of art tablet platform, which would be an iPad Pro 12.9 inch. 14.4 that's a sizable increase. I can't tell if the screen detaches. It looks like it doesn't. It just folds.
No, it does not.
Okay.
That is the that is another thing. This is just a flexible display. You can flip it around. It's got a nice big hinge. Mm-hmm. But so you can make it into a tablet format, but it's not like the previous Surfaces that had the detachable. In fact, the Surface Pro 8, which they also announced, also not detachable. Mm. Just able to fold over into tablet mode when needed. So they're kind of getting rid of that idea of the detachable display. I kind of loved the detachable display. I had one of the original Surfaces, the Surface Pros that did that, but I never ended up using it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it ended up being worth the effort, and they probably just put more of their engineering into the hinge instead.
Yeah. There's also some really nice specs, like up to 2 terabyte removable storage on this thing, 32 gig of RAM, Core i7 processors. This is really fast. They don't say here in this article I'm reading on The Verge, but is this, I assume it's Windows 11, right?
Oh, yeah. These are all Windows 11.
Okay.
It probably goes without saying, but in case you were doubting, yes, these are all going to be Windows 11 machines.
Okay. Yeah, very nice. It seems good. Did you say something about price? I may have missed that part.
Still waiting. They did not seem to want to announce any price or shipping dates in this announcement. I don't know if they're going to have that come out separately because they're going to be so variable around the world. I don't know if it's shipping constraints that they're worried about, but yeah, this was straight announcement. No price and shipping.
Okay, according to this breaking news, this just happened like as we're speaking.
Beepity beep.
Yeah. The Verge has updated their article to say Microsoft is now accepting pre-orders for the Surface Laptop Studio today and will ship on October 5th, pricing starting at $1,599.99. So that seems to be very late.
They just didn't want to clutter up the announcement with the.
I don't know why they do that. Also, that price is pretty good. Like that's that. I would tout that price for the specs. That's good. That's a nice price. I spent about that for my iPad Pro. You know, as decked out as I made it. Like you, that's a competitive price. So I don't know why they didn't announce it. That's weird. But anyway, that's according to The Verge, and who knows if they're...
And October 5th is when Windows 11 comes.
Mm.
So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I'll line all those releases up. Well, cool. They also show somebody doing some Xbox xCloud business on this thing, which is probably perfect for that, but probably don't need to buy
that.
Yeah,
because you can get it with a nice beefy amount of RAM and processor, and it's RTX 3050 Ti GPU you could throw in there if you want. Yeah. Yeah, it's a beefy machine for $1,599. Well, it starts at $1,599. You're not gonna get the 3050 for $1,599.
No.
And I should point out the Surface Pro 8, which I wonder if we got a price on that now. 13-inch 120Hz display with dynamic refresh rate, which is the ability to run at 60Hz to save your battery. But when you're doing some stylus tasks or touch or anything else that the operating system detects would need the higher refresh rate, it dynamically puts it up. That has a charging divot for the Slim Pen 2 in the keyboard.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can just house that thing and charge it at the same time.
A charging divot. I like the term.
Yes.
Charging divot. I just made that up. That was not Microsoft's
terminology. Oh, really? You should lock that URL down in case Microsoft wants it, because it's a great name for it.
Yeah.
Like it's super descriptive as to what it is. Oh, a charging divot.
Chargingdivot.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Well, this is great. Obviously, we'll probably have a bunch of Microsoft talk today as a result. And, it's always fun to see. I like these event days. They're some of my favorite stuff in tech coverage, so it'll be great to do that. Tom, anything else happening, going on that you want to mention these days?
Folks, if you want to know what's going on with me, the best way to do it is get an email, and then we can chat over email. I'm old-fashioned that way. Live like it's the 90s. Use electronic mail. FreeTomNewsletter.com is the place to go for that. I've got a new audiobook in beta that I'm testing. Project Vera is still out there. You can still get it on Audible if you haven't tried it yet. And honestly, really good reviews. Everybody seems to like it. So that is available. But if you want to get sneak peeks at my new stuff, The details are in the newsletter on the new book, The Girl at the Bottom of the Lake. You can find that at freetomnewsletter.com.
Very nice. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. And later today at 2:30 Mountain Time, you can watch and listen to The Daily Tech News Show. We'll see you then, Tom. Bye now.
Thank you.
See you, Tom.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Wow. I just got a picture of a Rock Runner shipment that's going out today. Good Lord. Look at this thing, chat room. Here, I'll put it in the thing.
Okay.
Look at this, man.
I got mine.
I know. You got yours in the first wave. Yeah. That's just another wave. We got multiples
Look
of those going.
Look at that. Out. Holy cow. Wow. I like the container that it's in. It looks like a Rock Runner's container.
It does. It's very, very sci-fi in a weird way. But also, it's easy for me to post this photo. That's all Dave today. He has to worry about it. So
yeah,
I don't have to do it. All right. Gnomic, they'll be in the store soon, too. We just got to get all these Kickstarters taken care of. So when that's over, you'll have your chance. All right. It's Nicole Spag time.
And no sooner.
No sooner than that. Yeah, it's freaking, don't get excited. It's not happening before then. Okay. Nicole time coming up, coming right up. And, hold on here. For some reason, Discord's saying she's not. Oh, no, it is saying she's there. All right, here we go. Hey, look who it is. It's Nicole Spag dancing on camera. I love it. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Yay.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little chilly.
Yeah.
I'm getting cold.
It's the turning
our
the
fall
seasons.
Weather finally arrived.
I know.
It's time for fall.
Yeah. It's exciting. it's good to have you here. How are things over there? School in full swing? Kids, doing all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it when I get to my recommendation.
Oh, interesting. Oh. There's a connection.
It kind of ties into it all.
Okay. I love
it.
By the way, I loved your recommendal for the Bob Ross documentary. We watched coming back on the trip. And it made me feel bad because I've got a Bob Ross Hawaiian shirt that Cleo got me. And so I want to go donate to the family the approximate cost of that shirt so that so I can wear it without feeling any guilt.
Mm. I know. I see stuff in the stores and I'm like, grumble.
Well,
I
know.
We had no idea, right? We're like seeing, Bob Ross mints and Bob Ross chia and chia pet and all that.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't get any money for that chia pet?
None of it.
None of his family?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, he's passed away, but I mean, his brother or his family doesn't, the estate.
Right.
Yeah.
That sucks. I don't like that at all.
His stepbrother.
Skeevy business people.
Yeah. Like the stepbrother or the half brother sold away the rights. The son gets nothing. And the son is actually a painter as well. And he's trying to do something, but he can't because of the Bob Ross company.
Yeah.
It's like, that's my name.
Yeah. It's weird, right? Legal stuff, dude. Man, it gets so effed up. I want to watch that.
Anyway.
I want to see that new Britney documentary that's coming to Netflix. They got their own big Britney Spears thing, and I want them to really help me understand this stupid
conservatorship
thing. Yeah, that conservatorship stuff. I don't get it. Just don't freaking get it.
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing the Alanis Morissette one because
she's not happy about that.
She is not happy about it, and from the description, it's stuff that she said when they interviewed her for the documentary. So it's like, wow. Well, what? What'd you expect? Yeah. So I want to understand that whole controversy more too.
It's should be good. I just want to see why she's mad. I want to see how jagged her pill is or whatever. all right. She was one of my favorite things about that, Woodstock 99 doc that I watched because she was like one of like two women on stage in the entire event.
Jeez.
And, is pretty freaky. Carter, what are you doing? You're freaking me out. Oh my gosh, my daughter's sneaking up.
Vacuuming in there?
I think that's Nicole. Nicole, what is that saying?
I think it is me. Somebody's mowing the lawn. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
That's right.
Like,
whoa.
That's not me.
It was like, what the heck just happened?
I was like, I don't know what's going on outside.
Everything's going to crap. All right, don't worry about it.
I'll mute myself.
We'll play Brian's recommendals now. So, Brian, hey, you want to set these up for us?
Sure. First one is a TV series and just got picked up. Well, not just earlier this year. It got picked up for a second season. So I can't wait for season 2 of this one.
All right. Let's give it a shot.
She just found a lump in her breast. Why don't you try to be a little more calming this time?
I know what I'm doing. I see you found a lump in your breast.
Yes.
I'm glad that you came in and that you've been so diligent with your health. As you know, self-examination along with appropriate screenings can greatly increase your odds of early detection, so I don't want you to worry. Many women find lumps in their breasts all the time, and most of them are nothing. Okay?
Okay.
Good. Now let's get a look at that. I discovered that the woman does not have cancer. I also discovered that is not the preferred term for breast.
What is this? This is great. I don't know what this is, but I want to watch.
That is, we just lost Nicole. Unfortunately. Oh, there we go. Now she's back.
No, she's back.
Oh, sorry. I hit the wrong button. I was trying to unmute.
It's all good.
That is, that's Alan Tudyk and a show from Sci-Fi called Resident Alien.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's an alien who crash lands on Earth, lands in a mountain town called Patience, Colorado. And takes over the body of a pathology physician who lives, you know, in this remote cabin in the woods. Turns out that guy is also a doctor. And when the town doctor, when the patient's town doctor is mysteriously killed, the residents of Patience come to this other guy. They come to the doctor, who's now an alien, to be the new town doctor. And the fact that this didn't even get a mention during the Emmys is a crime. It is so funny. It's so well done. It's a Sci-Fi Channel show, but you can get it on Peacock TV. So that's where you can stream it.
Okay. NBC.
Alan Tudyk. This rivals Firefly as one of my favorite things that Alan Tudyk has ever done. He never got a big chance to shine with physical comedy on Firefly, but boy, is he a master of it on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's supposed to be, I've heard nothing but raves about this and I don't know.
It's so good. And there's a Northern Exposure kind of quality to this town with, it's not just about, the alien, but about the people in this town, and they're amazing. Like the sheriff, the bartender, the woman who runs the bar. I mean, it's so good. It's called Resident Alien, one season right now, 10 episodes, but it got renewed for a second season, and I can't wait for it to come out. And apparently, it's based on a comic book by Peter Hogan and Steve Parkhouse that I had no idea.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it would be based on a comic book.
Yeah.
By the way, the guest stars that you see in this thing, Nathan Fillion makes an under the wire guest appearance that you wouldn't even know is him.
Nice.
Linda Hamilton makes an appearance, Sarah Connor, and Terry O'Quinn, Locke from Lost, makes an appearance.
So I'm looking at the comic right now. This was a Dark Horse comic, and apparently they've changed the show. The show is all about looking like Tudyk, so nobody knows that he's an alien. But in the comic, he's just straight up alien all the time. He's an alien living in that town. Like, the conceit is that they all know.
Did they see
one.
Him as an alien, or because there's one character in the show that sees who he really is?
It's interesting.
But everybody else sees him as
that might be the case, because in the comic I'm looking at all these pages and in every single page he's just an alien, so maybe the audience is the only one that knows.
Maybe the audience sees him. Yeah.
Well, and now I'm super curious about the comic run as well.
Hank the Crab says he is perceived as an alien on both. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, if you've seen it and he wasn't perceived as an alien on the show, then that doesn't make sense. I'm not sure what he means.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. I'm into wanting to see this, so I'm gonna get
it. It is hilarious, and it's also, you know, there's some really touching moments and poignant moments and stuff, and it's really good. So,
all right, there you go. How about your big number two here?
Big number two, a little bit darker, and a mini series that I think is going to be an anthology series, from what I hear.
Oh, all right. Well, here you go.
I'm right here. I'm right here, baby.
Is that your baby?
Yes. Yes, he is.
What's his name?
Chester.
Chester Cheetah?
He's a panther.
I think you better be on your way.
now. My husband's gonna be home soon.
That man left from here with two little girls about an hour ago. Oh, we seen him. Can I have him?
Ma'am?
Your boy. I'd like him very, very much. Will you give him to me?
Go! Go!
What is this? Give him to me.
Freaky, what is this?
Don't mess with babies.
Right? Yeah. You will not want to see this show, Nicole. I'll just tell you that right now. This is a show called Them on Amazon Prime. It's not us, it's them. But it's funny how it kind of deals with the same kind of weird racism meets supernatural that Us and Us. Get Out and Lovecraft Country have to deal with. This is... how many episodes? It's also a 10-episode miniseries. Apparently, it's going to be an anthology. So this this season follows a family that moves from North Carolina to Compton, Los Angeles in 1953. And basically, as soon as they move into the neighborhood, they're obviously surrounded by white people who stare at them and gather on their front lawn and stare into their windows, and there's something creepier going on here than just basic racism.
Crazy white people.
Crazy white people, exactly. This is the woman you're hearing, by the way, is Deborah Ion.
Ioride. Yeah, ask your doctor if a ioride is right for you.
I know this is. I'm almost taking Nicole's job here, but she's
on Luke Cage. I know who that is. She's great.
Exactly. She played Candace in Luke Cage. She was on True Detective for a couple episodes in 2019. The Village.
She's cool.
She's great, and she holds this story together just so well. Allison Pill, who you know from the Newsroom and
Picard. She's the right?
Yes,
she's
on Picard. Scott Pilgrim. Yes, exactly. Yeah, blonde. Eyes are very close together.
Weird blonde close eyes, we call her.
Right weird here. Blonde close eyes, really? Yeah. Is that what you call her?
No, I don't know. She's cool, though. She's very good.
She's so talented. Yeah. And Devs. She was also in Devs, of course.
Oh, right. Devs.
Yes.
Devs. I love that show so much.
Anyway, she is kind of the head Karen of the neighborhood, and kind of leads this the dark things that happen to this family. I'm really just going to emphasize there are some very frightening images in this, again, the supernatural aspect, but there's also some really dark racism stuff that at times was just really, really hard to watch. So that's a heads up. If you're sensitive to that kind of thing, you really may want to stay away and watch something a little happier, like What We Do in the Shadows or something. But anyway, this is called Them. It's on Amazon Prime Video, 10 episodes. I'm not sure how they're going to do the anthology aspect of this. If it's going to just like American Horror Story be the same actors who play different roles, or if it's going to also focus on the same time frame, kind of like that Tales from the Loop. It's funny, Rainbow Bright, we just started watching Lovecraft Country and we're laughing at kind of similar things. There's one particular episode of Lovecraft Country that deals with a house that's possessed. That's right. As far as we've gotten in that series. And there's some similarities that are just kind of crazy between the two shows.
The only thing I've heard is the one you just watched, Them, is getting some criticism for lifting. Since they're, you know, kind of last in order in terms of release order, they're getting accused of lifting stuff from Lovecraft Country and Us and, you know, kind of this trend. But it sounds like it's good enough to stand on its own, and I'm okay with that. You know?
Yeah. I think it is. And it's funny because we started watching this before, before Lovecraft Country. So, but I can absolutely see the parallels and the, and Tim Russ, I'm seeing if Tim Russ is the character that I think he is with all the makeup. There's a character that's wearing, a ton of blackface, who's kind of like this otherworldly character in them. And Tim Russ is listed as the custodian, and I think he might be the character I'm thinking of. No, maybe not.
The custodian.
The custodian, yeah.
That's my new movie coming out, The Custodian. Taking care of bathrooms, emptying trash is going to be great. Okay.
That's right, exactly. Yes.
All right, awesome. So it's them. And what was the first one again?
First one is Resident Alien.
Resident Alien. Oh, that's right.
If you're looking for something happy, Resident Alien. If you're looking for a good horror for your October, for your Halloween time, them is should fit the bill.
Nice. Here are mine. Now, you're going to think I'm nuts for doing this. I'll play the first trailer. You'll figure out what it's about, and then I'll explain why it's nuts. So here you go.
It was a beautiful fall morning. There was the loudest noise I had ever heard. And it got dark.
Pieces of this story continue to come together. I've never seen anything like this.
I whispered into the president's ear, America is under attack.
I am convinced military action will not prevent acts of terrorism.
Oh, we know where they're shooting from!
There's before 9/11 and there's after 9/11.
All right. As you can tell, 9/11 documentary. Okay.
Yes.
So this is the one.
Which on one?
This is so, yeah. So that's the thing. This is the 20-year anniversary. That automatically meant there were going to be a stack of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. There always is on big commemorations. Right. And there are.
I know there was one that was focused on W.
And that's the one I'm going to talk about second. So, so there's three of them that are the big major ones. There's this one on Netflix, which is a multi-part thing. It's five episodes or something, I think, total. That's called Turning Point, /9/11 and the War on Terror.
Is that what this one is?
That's what this one is. And the reason I bring this one up first is I think this is the scholarly one. And by that I mean, while it talks about the first episode is all about the events of 9/11 that day, and kind of when it happened and how it happened and kind of all the process that was going on. It is way more about, let's jump the camera back a little bit in time and look at what led up to that moment and what was missed and how did we not see it and this sort of thing. And then also goes really deep in a very almost academic way into what are the results after. All the way up until Biden announced we were withdrawing troops from Afghanistan, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
They have footage of that conference toward the end of that fifth episode. And it wasn't just tacked on. It feels like part of the full thing. So it was kind of messing with my head timing wise, but it covers every administration since, everything that happened in the aftermath of it, everything from the Patriot Act to the expanded war powers to what we do with drones now, like all this kind of stuff. So it's way less about that day and more about what happened after that day and what changed after that day and what led to the longest war we've ever been involved with and the $2 trillion it's cost us and how many lives and all of this other stuff. And now we're pulled out of there and it's all back in Taliban hands. And did it even make a dent? And was any of that actually going to stop what happened on that day? And did the changes we make to laws actually do anything to stop future terrorism attacks? Like, there's a lot of questions in there. And they talk to everybody. They talk to generals, and they talk to people on all sides of this thing, survivors, family who were whose family had died, so it gets very personal in some points. Other points, it's like the camera's brought way out to big geopolitical implications of things. It's very, very good. Not sensationalistic. Not, let's freak everybody out about that day again. It's not that. It's much more than that, and I think it's the educated thing, and I think this thing should win like Emmys and stuff. It's very good.
It seems like that's the right way to do it and not do the whole, oh my God, wasn't that a terrible day, and let's relive it kind of thing.
It's a big thing, and anybody who thinks they're going into this to just hear them rip on the Bush administration or that it's one-sided, it's not. In fact, they go after everybody in this documentary, and they go after Bush hard, they go after Obama hard. They go, oh, hold on, I hear a little boy. Hold on. Hi, Ben.
Who's peeing?
I'm pouring coffee.
Yeah, hold on. We gotta
well, actually, and I am peeing, so it's funny you bring that up.
We have to interrupt this program. What? Say hi. Hi. Say hi to everybody. Can you say hi? No.
Oh. you're supposed to... It's okay. Hi, buddy.
So friggin' much. Is that what he says? All right, go look at dinos with grandma. Here you go. All right, see you later, buddy. All right, sorry, boy. From a very serious conversation to little kids.
Right.
So anyway, so here's my whole point with this. I don't like to dwell on 9/11 because 9/11 and I have never really gotten along. And that sounds stupid to say it, but what I mean by that is I've never really reconciled that awful day personally. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've avoided it. I don't like talking about it. It's a dark moment. It's not just a turning point for a country or a nation or the world. It was a turning point for me and my own mental health. It messed with me pretty bad. And to this day, I still don't deal with 9/11 very well. So I really wanted this time around to, like, go full in and like have an exposure moment of like, I want to understand it. We have a better perspective now. A bunch of time has passed. We can see more things for what they were and are and look at the nuance of the thing. And that's what I wanted. And I'm here to tell you that that documentary goes way deeper into what I wanted than any of the others, including this one that I saw. And I'm going to play that clip real quick. It's very short.
Good morning. Hi.
It was absolutely spectacular weather. Not humid. Skies were clearer.
Smoke is billowing out of the building.
ABC Network News. A plane apparently has crashed into the World Trade Center in New York.
We went from a calm, beautiful day to one in which our world changed dramatically.
Okay, so the difference. Okay, this is the Apple TV Plus one. That one's called 9/11 Inside the President's War Room.
Right.
It is also very good. But it is 100% the day of and from the perspective of the then serving administration and government. And so they interview Bush, Condoleezza Rice, can't think of his name, Dick Cheney's in this. Who's the guy that used to write all his speeches? Can't think of his name. Karl Rove, that's who it is. Everybody was on that plane with them. Some reporters that were on that plane, you know, because Air Force One was like circling the country for hours and they never landed for a long time because they weren't sure where to go or what to do. And they cover all of that. It is also very good, but it's a look at the event itself from the perspective of, well, like it says, from the president's war room. It is from the perspective of the administration and how they're trying to deal with the things that's happening in real time.
And it sounds like they're pulling him in, it's not like a hit piece or anything, right? It's
no, they're all taught, they agreed to be on this and they're on it. And it isn't like, but it's also not a fluffy pro piece. It's really just, here's how I think they got all these people to be on it. I think they got them to be on this one because they said, look, we're not here. This isn't a hit piece and we're not here to talk about anything beyond it. We're not going to talk about ramifications. We're not going to talk about the Iraq war and its, you know, its reasons for starting. We're just going to have you in here to talk about that day. And that's all they do. And it's an hour and a half long and it's very good at being that. Okay. And it's a good, and it's an interesting perspective to see it from that angle because you never hear that angle. And also one of the dudes on the plane, one of his advisors' wife died in the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. So there's like this personal angle to it as well. And he talks a bit about that and being on Air Force One and hearing about his wife's death from there. And I didn't even know about that guy. That was news to me.
Oh, wow.
They get a little bit more into, you know, like the Pentagon part of it and some of that other stuff. But that is an hour and a half where they focus entirely on the day and they do it with administration mainly as the thing. I want to tell people this is not some kind of this isn't propaganda. This is not a fluff piece. It may not be a hit piece, but it is definitely not a fluff piece. It is just basically like, here's what happened at 8:05. This happened. This is where we were. This is what we had to do. This is what we thought was happening and we were wrong. We thought it was a twin engine prop plane, but it wasn't. And when the second one hit, then we knew it wasn't. And when the third one hit, we're like, oh my gosh, we're literally under attack. Blah, 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 blah. Right.
I was outside of DC when it happened and I was in my car
when the first plane hit, and I was listening to the radio,
yeah.
and they made it sound like it was a prop plane. Like yeah. they didn't really understand what was going on. Wow. And I remember going, this is weird. This is so weird. And then I was probably the office that I was at was not far from the Pentagon.
Yeah.
So when all that happened, we were all together for training and like the internet just went down. Mm-hmm. Like it was the craziest thing mm-hmm. that you couldn't even get to a website. At all.
Yeah, it all got
and,
clogged.
And my son is learning yeah. about 9/11 right now.
Yeah.
In school. Yeah. And it's weird.
It's weird for them because they're hearing it yeah. like we heard of, you know, we heard about Pearl Harbor or something. It's disconnected for that generation. Even Nick, who is not even a year old. No, yeah. He's about 8 months old or something when this happened.
Nick 8 months old?
Yeah, he was born in 2000. Oh my gosh. He was just a little kid.
So he learned about it too. I find it interesting how they present it in school.
Yeah.
And so I talked to my son about, I wasn't far from, like, I tell him, like, I got in a car and drove cross country to get home.
Yeah.
Because I was in DC and I lived in California and you couldn't go anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
well,
yeah,
I was on my way to the airport to fly to, where was I going? Newark. To drive up to Poughkeepsie and
to do an install.
Happened, so
You're doing an install
to do an install. Yeah. And, on the way to the airport, all this is happening. And by, at that point they thought it was an accident, the first one. And then mm-hmm. the second one. And then turned around and said, okay, airport's closed. They said, so I guess, all right, well, I'm going to turn around and go back home and watch what the heck is going on here.
Yeah.
Everybody drove. It was really weird when you were on I-70 driving across country, how many rental cars you saw.
Yes.
It took them years to get the rental cars back to their original state.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it totally would. Yeah. We had one of my employees was stuck in Wisconsin and we had to scramble to rent her a car, which was hard to find one. And she had to drive her way back.
That's where Barbara and Bush Sr. were there in Wisconsin that day. That's mm-hmm. part of this documentary, I guess, because Bush called to see where his parents were because he was worried they were flying in one of these planes or whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of really interesting stuff about the time and the moment in that Apple TV Plus doc. And I recommend it. I think it's good. My only thing is if you're really looking for not just, that day, which is important, mm-hmm. but you really want to go, okay, but what after? And then what now? And like, what do we do mm-hmm. now? And did we learn anything? Did we do anything? Did anything get accomplished? Is it worse now? Is it better now? Like, what are we doing? That Netflix one is really, really great. And they talk to everybody, McMaster and like these huge general dudes that were all in charge at the time. I don't know how they got all these people, honestly. They go all over the place. They deal with the Guantanamo Bay stuff. They talk about the raid that killed bin Laden. Some really effed up stuff that happened during
that was the first one, right? The turning point one?
Yeah, the turning point one. Some really effed up stuff happened during the Obama administration, during a raid in particular that just, I cannot believe how bad that went. And I'd never even heard of it. They do not spare anybody in any administration. Like, Bush, Obama, Trump, even Biden, they're just like, look, this is how it is. I mean, it's not just anti-government the whole time. It's just, look at these messes and then how we made them worse. There was one episode where they just talked about the waste of money that would happen. Like, for some reason, somebody picked out, this was crazy. Somebody picked out camouflage for the Afghani army that was going to stay when we leave. And they chose forest green. First of all, there's no forests where they are, but they chose forest green. And it's a pattern that someone owns a copyright on. So I have to pay yearly to even use it. And it ended up costing something like 5 to 6 times more than the average army uniform that the regular army pays for. And just one flub after another, just chunks of
the planes
of money.
They can't fly.
A plane they couldn't fly. They spent $30 million. Mm-hmm. $300 million on that plane.
Oh,
I think.
Wow.
Huge jumbo thing from Italy. It never flew. Like, ridiculous stuff. And then they had to have people come in and look at all of that and audit it all. It's really fascinating. And it isn't just one giant negative take. It's a big full throated look at all of it. And I really needed that. So that's what I did. And it was great. I did want to point out something, though. Listen to how these two, both of these documentaries start in exactly the same way. So listen to this one.
It was a beautiful fall morning.
Okay, now listen to this one.
Good morning. Hey, how are you?
It was absolutely spectacular weather.
All right, they do this in every one of these. They all start with what a beautiful day it was. And I don't know why that temptation is so great with these
documentaries. They got to set the scene for what a drastic change things were. Like, we are all so blissfully unaware of what was about to happen.
Yeah, it must be a human storytelling thing, and they just can't resist. I don't know, but... But anyway, so
it was a dark and stormy night.
That was the punishment I put myself through. I think everyone, if any of this sounds at all, you know, enlightening, then maybe check these two things
out. Would you think the Turning Point one would be good for a 10-year-old?
It's pretty heady, meaning
it's
a lot of very.
Maybe not, because I told Mateo about child labor. And showed him pictures, and he started crying.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much that
like,
this stuff would make
buddy,
him...
I'm just trying to make you understand.
I don't think this stuff would make him upset. I think it would be... It's very adult talking, and I don't mean swears and stuff. I mean, like, it's aimed at... It's aimed at people who are a little older. I don't know how else to put it. I don't think he would... I think he'd be bored, is what I'm saying. I think he'd be bored. Because it's just really...
Yeah.
Really, really pay attention and really listen and really, not that he can't do those things, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just a lot of complex interweaved stuff, and it's definitely not made for, you know, a kid who wants to collect Pokemon cards. So I'd probably give him a couple years, but I do think this one will last the test of time. It isn't just another Netflix production of another documentary. Like, you can kind of start seeing those, you know, they kind of start to fit a pattern. This feels separate and different. It's very good.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. That took forever. Nicole, let's throw it over to you.
That's
what
right.
do you have today?
Right. So I have a trailer, and I wanted to start this off by, I feel like Netflix manipulates me. You ever get that all feeling? Right. Like, we think you like this one. And it's like, of course I'm going to like this one. You know everything about me now. Yeah. And I feel like they're making shows. Like, they're targeting, like, I don't know. It's just weird.
Nicole likes this. Let's make 5 new shows that are just like that.
So here's the trailer. It's about women in their 40s, which I am one. There you go.
All right. I'm going to play it. Here it comes.
Oh, shoot. Well, I saw the name, but I never heard of this thing, so that's all right.
Yeah. It's playing. We're waiting. Here we go.
Switching career in your 40s as a woman.
Switching careers in your 40s as a woman.
You know how you have one of those days and it just feels like everything is collapsing all around you? And then all of a sudden, it's just fine again.
Oh, no! Oh, my God.
Think about Ratatouille. What made him a star?
So you want me to be inspired by a male Disney rat?
Newsflash, buddy. Your son's moving in. Bye.
Oh my God, the whole thing.
Cassie? Cassie? Do you mind if I ask you an odd question?
No, go ahead.
What scent do you have on? It's intoxicating.
Gotta go. All right, what's going on? Are you having a heart attack?
God, I'm 46, not 96. I'm having a panic attack.
How do all of you know each other?
I just made out with this guy, and I think that he was toothless.
Oh, gross.
What gross got out the most?
Yeah. You know it. So what? This seems there's some really familiar faces in this.
Yeah. So you heard Elizabeth Shue. She's in it. Okay. So the show, it's a show called On the Verge.
The show
on
is
the
a show.
Verge of a nervous breakdown is what I kind of play into.
Okay.
And so it has four women: Elizabeth Shue, Julie. She's the French one.
Julie Delpy. She also wrote it.
Julie Delpy from Before Sunrise. And
Yes.
Oh, I adore her.
She's also the writer, creator person here.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then two new faces I'm not familiar with. Alexia Lando
looks like. Yeah.
And Sarah Jones. But they're four friends. They're in their mid-40s. It's a life story. It's like... I don't know. I just identify it with it so much. Like that first scene where she says, you know, basically asking her smart device, like, how do women change career in their 40s? Because guess what? That's what I'm doing right now.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm going back to school. You asked what I've been up to.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of getting my fingerprint done for my background checks because I'm going to start being a sub for elementary school.
Oh, fun.
Oh, very cool. So this this stuff you're doing with the 3D printing is kind of giving you the teaching bug, huh?
Well, so I've been unhappy for a while. I didn't realize how unhappy I've been. Yeah. I left a career where I was very established as a teacher trainer for 14 years, and I start working for our business.
Yeah.
It's fine, but it's not my thing. It's Mark's thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to support that. But I've realized that I've been a little unhappy for a while, and Mark's helped me see that. And so I'm going to go back for my teaching certificate. And this show was kind of perfect because I was like, it feels like my life at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm changing things up in my mid-40s. I'm starting a second career, and hopefully I'll be a teacher.
I'm super jealous because I always wanted to be a teacher. I'm jealous of this. This sounds awesome.
So I get such fulfillment from it. I love teaching technology to younger kids. I love seeing their eyes light up and the possibilities, like you just see it on their face. Mm-hmm. So my goal and my hope is that I'm going to be a digital teacher librarian because I just love books. I love technology. And that role for a lot of schools is very underutilized. So
that's cool.
This is a great show. Even if you're not, you know, in your mid-40s, it's still a really well-acted show. It's funny. It's about their life journeys and what they're dealing with things being stale and trying to find their way. And I love it. It's a good show.
How's Giovanni Ribisi in this? He's in this, it looks like. I like him.
I don't know. See, I'm terrible with actors' names. Unless it's like...
He's Phoebe's little brother on Friends.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, there's a whole funny story in the first episode with him.
Okay, great.
With the woman that made out with the toothless guy.
Yeah, he's great.
I actually think I might like this. You know, I know this may... I might not be their target demographic, but it looks like I'd probably... like this a lot.
I'm making Kim watch this like immediately.
Yeah. She would love it. Yeah. Seems like it's really good.
He was really good in that Sneaky Pete show. He's in everything though. That dude was great on My Name Is Earl. He's on all the Avatar movies that are coming out, plus the original. He was the bad guy in that. He's great. Uh-huh. Shaving Ryan's Privates. He was
really funny. Yeah.
So when in the clip that I played, he was the one talking to when she's like, I'm supposed to be inspired by a male Disney rat. He was telling her, that was him telling her about Ratatouille.
Okay. He looked crazy in his hair. That looked different. Didn't know it was him. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds like fun. Yeah. Well, Kim and I will probably watch this together. It seems good.
On the Verge.
That is On the Verge, which is also a website. Don't get confused. Nicole puts all these together in a very nice, easy to read format on her Twitter account, Nicole Spag. And then you can all find out what we watched. If you missed it here, just follow her there. Okay? You should do it. Nicole, you got anything else you want to mention?
I hope you have a wonderful week.
I do too.
Oh, you too.
I wish I could go to class and have Mrs. Spagnolo as my teacher.
I would teach you 3D printing, programming.
Yeah.
Are you robotics. Teaching modeling? Like, are you teaching like Fusion 3D or something like that?
Tinkercad is what
Tinkercad,
I'm teaching.
Tinkercad, okay.
Yeah. Tinkercad. Nice. So I figure give them the basics.
Yep.
And then they can build upon that as they go through middle and high school if they want to.
Very cool.
That's a good one.
I love this. All right. Stay safe. We'll see you soon. Bye now. All right. Hey, Brian, you know what that means? You know what it means? It means we're done. A quick note to the fine folks at home. Oh, Brian's muted. Why is Brian muted? He's muted. I don't know why he's muted. I don't hear Brian. Oh, did I hang up on Brian? Damn it. Hold on. Gosh dang it. I did that.
Come on, 9/11.
Yeah. Whatever.
There we go.
F'd that up.
Oops.
I left the Discord call like a dummy. All right. Brian, the show's over. We're going to do a thing here at the end. Which is call out a couple of people who just joined our Patreon.
Yeah, call them out. They need to be called out for what they've done. They know what they did.
They know what they did, and now you have to face the consequences of being beloved and adored by us and by the fan base, by us telling you that Jason Sharp FET 101, Michael Klein Fremont, like Fremont Street. Rodney Allen and Brian Hartzell have all jumped on board and supported us at patreon.com/TMS. These are all recent jump-ons. If you want to be called out as a recent person, then you got to do it. You got to get over there and do it. Patreon.com/TMS. Huge thanks to them. Much, much appreciated. And we look forward to more of you. That's going to do it for the show. Send us your emails and feedback at themorningstream@gmail.com. And you can find me and Brian on Twitter as well. You can find Brian at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. And if you're looking for the show, we put notifications of going live and all that kind of fun stuff over at Morning Stream. Okay. I think we're done. Do you have a song now that we're done?
No, I decided to skip it today.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yes, I do have a song. And this one is going out to... Where is it?
I don't know.
Is
it a birthday?
It's a birthday. Happy because they did it as a...
Yeah, I'm just getting out of
it. They didn't do it as a day. They did it for a day, but it's not a birthday request.
Oh, dang it.
Happy birthday. When you have a birthday, Roman, happy birthday to you. No wonder I didn't find it in my to-do today. All right, Roman said, I love hip-hop covers, and this one is one of the best. We need some variety in the tadpole suggestions, so here you go. Wow, throwing some shade on the tadpole. Mm. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the excellent content, signed, Roman.
Nice.
All right, Roman. Well, I listened to this. I was unfamiliar with the original. I had to go and listen to the original and say, oh my God, this is great. And it totally does change things. Little heads up. It's a little sweary, a few little F-bombs or S-bombs in here. So you may want to listen at your own risk, especially if you got the kids with you or you're at work and everybody's a little silly there. This is the song Bad and Bougie. originally done by Migos, performed here, the cover performed by William Singh. Going out to Rome, and here is Bad and Bougie.
Raindrops, drop top, smoking on cooking the hot pots, fucking on your bitch, shit, tha-tha, cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, bruh. I don't trust nobody, crypto, call up the gang and they come for ya. My bitch is bad and bougie, cooking up double dozy. My hit is a savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. So my bitch is bad and bougie, cooking up double dozy. My hit is a savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too.
Willie Well!
Whoa. Rackets on rackets, got backings on backings. I'm riding around in a coupe. I take your bitch right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. Beat the whole walls loose. Then hop in the frog. I tell that bitch to come come for me. Swear all these hitters is under me. They hating the devil, keep jumping me. Big rolls on me, keep me company. Activated the moves. Pull up and ghost. My diamonds a choker. Holding the fire with no holster. Break the rule, the diamonds cooler. It's a rollie, not a mule. Dabbing on them like the usual. Magic with the brick to voodoo.
Courtside with a bad bitch.
Then I send that bitch an Uber. Young rich plus I'm bougie. Tryna make my life a movie. Raindrops, drop top. Smoking on cooking a hot box. Fucking on your bitch, she a thot. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, bruh. I don't trust nobody, grip the Call up the gang and they come for ya. Cry me a river, give you a tissue. My bitch is bad and bougie. Whipping up dope with the Uzi. My head is a savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie. Cooking up dope with the Uzi. My head is a savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. Don't know nobody, oh nobody. Always on the job, I got no hobbies.
Got my city fucking with me, cause I'm homegrown.
Vibing out more than my phone though. Leave me alone, me on my own though. I cut that bitch off like an edit. My daddy achieved genetics. Heard your new shit is pathetic. And your contract should be shredded. Took my dogs on a proper trip in the public house. And I kept the J1000.
Quick start started like the Paramount Mountain.
Last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back. Wake up every morning, by the night I count stacks. Knew that ass was real when I hit it, bounce back. You ain't getting checks.
Yeah.
Last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back. I've been broke as hell, cash and check and bounce back. D-Town LAX.
raindrops, drop top. Smoking on cooking a hot box. Fucking on your bitch, she a thot thot. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, bruh. I don't trust nobody, grip the Call up the gang and they cover ya.
Cry me a river, give you a tissue.
My bitch is bad and bougie. Cooking up dope with the Uzi. My hitters are savage, ruthless.
We got 30s and 100 rounds too.
My bitch is bad and bougie. Cooking up dope with the Uzi. My hitters are savage, ruthless.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.